The Happy Writer. This is a podcast that aims to bring readers more books to enjoy and to help authors find more joy in their writing. I am your host, Marissa Meyer. Thank you for joining me. One thing making me happy this week is that last week I had my first in-person signing since the start of the pandemic. So thank you, Third Place Books in Seattle, for hosting that. And thank you so much to everyone who came out to see me. It was so nice to be with people and to be with book people especially. But the things that really made me most happy about this event was that two readers gave me really special gifts who came through the signing line. So I want to give a special shout out, one, to Shannon Jimenez, who gave me some just like really beautiful fan art and also a batch of super cool book stickers that I love. I'm not sure yet if I'm going to put them on my laptop or what I'm going to do with them, but I think they are so cool. Also, I received just the most thoughtful letter from aspiring author P.S. Bell. She says she is a fan of this podcast, so I hope that she hears this. She is doing NaNoWriMo for the first time this year and hopes to one day be one of our featured guests. So, Miss Bell, I am sending you tons of happy writing vibes for this month, and I very much look forward to the day that I can read your book and have you on the show. So definitely keep in touch. Please send me an email through our website. I would love to know how things are going. And thank you so much for just your incredibly thoughtful card that you gave me. I am also, of course, so happy to be talking to today's guest. She is the host of the Stories to Love podcast and is the USA Today bestselling author of In a Book Club Far Away, Once Upon a Sunset, The Key to Happily Ever After, and the Heart Resort and Journey to the Heart series. Her debut young adult romance, The Holiday Switch, came out last month. Please welcome Tiff Marcello.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for having me, Marissa. I'm just so appreciative.
Oh, well, thank you for joining me. When I saw this book and the blurb for it, I was immediately like, send request to publisher. This is totally up my aisle.
I love it. Thank you so much. It's just been such a special book to write and promo and release. It is my first YA, and it's just so special to me. So.
Yeah. And have you written holiday-centric stories before, or is this also your first kind of holiday-themed one?
It is my first holiday, so it's like double wonderfulness, you know?
Because I've always from cover to cover.
Because I wanted to write a holiday book as well. You know, it's kind of on my bucket list to be able to write a holiday book. And I actually, in the beginning of my career, tried to get an agent with YA Works, but was not able to get an agent. And then I wrote my first, what I had called, I guess, new adult, which eventually aged up to adult when it was time to be published, right? Mm-hmm. But I did not get an agent until I wrote that adult work. So to be able to circle around and publish a YA, and it's my eighth novel, is just so, so special. And it's a holiday book, so it's even more cheerful, like all the cheerful stuff in one book.
That's so awesome. It's funny, I also, on my writing bucket list for a long, long time, I've been saying that I want to write a Hallmark holiday movie.
Yeah.
And I did like a couple of years ago, I outlined and I started writing the screenplay.
Yeah.
And then of course got distracted by a million other things. And I was just thinking a couple of days ago, probably because I was listening to your book, that, oh, I should go back to that. And now I'm thinking, I don't know about the screenplay idea. Maybe it needs to be a novel. Maybe it needs to be a graphic novel. I don't know, but I'm like suddenly really inspired to get back to it, which I think I have you to thank for that.
Oh, thank you. Oh, well, the thing is that it's like, it's a different flavor than what I usually write. And sometimes when that happens, like you get so inspired by it. Do you know what I mean? Because it kind of pushes your skill level, or pushed my skill level anyway, to be able to write YA and then write these, write the scene where it's just really lighthearted, because most of my books are, well, all of the rest of my books are adult books, but they also have you know, some serious topics. I also bring up serious topics in those books. So it's nice to be able to write a book that remains generally lighthearted. It was a neat thing to be able to do and to practice. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I want to pause there because the first question that I typically like to ask guests on this show, and you've already kind of given us a few hints, but I want to know about your origin story as an author, because I was reading your bio and it sounds like your professional career has taken some pretty big twists and turns over the years. So I really want to know, how did you come to be a writer? How did you get your first book published?
For sure. So I was always a reader and I was a library girl growing up, as many authors were. And I decided pretty young, as a pretty young girl, that I wanted to be a writer. I told my parents, who are very pragmatic people, and I think I was like 10, and I said, you know, Dad, I want to write. Because I read Essie Hinton's The Outsiders. I looked in the back in the bio and said that she published a book when she was 15, right? Mm-hmm. So at that time, I was younger, and I was like, okay, by 15, I'm going to publish a book, as if.
You can do this.
Right. And so I told my dad, and he's like, well, no, probably not. He steered me towards, you know, another career. And so did my mom. And I decided to go into healthcare and then joined the Army and became an Army nurse for 4 years and then became a civilian nurse thereafter. But I continued to read. And when blogging first really hit the scene in, like, I would say 2001, 2002, I started blogging. So I got back into the practice of writing pretty often, and it was just a family blog. And then it became like a craft blog and a mommy blog. For anybody that blogs out there, like back in the early 2000s, that's kind of how so many kind of moved through the blogging career, you know? I was doing like 3 posts, about 250 words. And I just, you know, the practice of drafting and then editing. And I was having children and I was working as a civilian nurse. And it was actually my mom who came around and said, you know, you should write a book. And I was like, okay, let me see if I can do it. And when I was pregnant with my fourth kiddo, I started writing seriously, and she's 11 now.
Oh my.
So I queried for about 5 years and then got my agent, tried YA three, I queried 3 YA titles. And the first adult title that I queried, I got my agent, who's still my agent today. And we're rounding almost 5 years next year. Mm-hmm. And we've got, and she sold that adult book, which became a 3-book romance, adult romance series with Pocket Star, which is with Gallery Books. And that kind of started my career. So it's been fast and furious since. It's been fantastic. What a journey. And, you know, I think that once, you know, when you wait for something for so long, you just have a million stories that you want to tell. So I'm mm-hmm. excited to be here.
I am always amazed with people who are like in the midst of having a really young family, who either have babies or really small kids in the house or are pregnant, and decide like, I'm going to start writing a book.
Yeah.
Like, I know, with all of your free time, right?
Amy. and looking back and really looking back and thinking about self-care, right? And, you know, I'm 46 now. I was like 34, 35, and I was so ambitious. But looking back, I was like, you know, I could have slept more. Really? Because I was pregnant when I started writing seriously, and then querying and all of that while having a newborn in tow was just really, that was a lot. And then I had 3 young kids under the age of 10. So, but it all, I think, happened when it was supposed to happen, even through the ups and downs and the tears. So now she's sort of like my marker, my youngest child. You know, she's 11, and when I see her, I'm like, okay, you know, this is what happens in 11 years. I grew a second career and my last baby.
You can do it all. No, I mean, I think it is inspiring, right? I think there's a lot of people wondering, how do I fit writing into real life. Yeah. And when it's, you know, when you're still aspiring, it's not a career yet. Yeah. It can be really hard to prioritize. And then I know for me, I hear stories of people who just did it, who made it a priority, who, you know, decided, I love this thing. I want to try to do this thing.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it. You know, yeah. Who cares about the obstacles? And I think that's really empowering.
Well, you know, I can't say I was able to do it myself. I think what it is also, even though I worked as a nurse, I wasn't working full time mm-hmm. as a registered nurse. So, you know, I have who I call my sugar daddy, and that is my husband, who, I mean, I obviously, I take care of this household too, you know, so we are a partnership, he and I. But I generally believe that if you want to do something, you'll make time to do something. That's just because whenever I don't feel like writing, I find myself, you know, reading a ton of books or watching Netflix, you know, so, or jumping into another craft or getting obsessed with the cricket, you know, the cricket machine. So it's like, I think that when, at that time when I had decided that I wanted to get published, I really put my heart into it. And that was what I fit in those little moments that I had available to me. Yeah.
So here we are now 11 years later. And you've had, did you say it was your eighth book?
Yes.
Your eighth book has just mm-hmm. come out. Would you please tell listeners a little bit more about The Holiday Switch?
Yeah. So The Holiday Switch is a young adult novel, and it is about Lila Santos, who is a Filipino American girl, and she is 18. She's a senior in high school, and she lives in this great little city, little town called Holly, New York. It's a fictional town. And
Is it? I was hoping you would be like, it's a totally real place that you can go visit.
I drew it in my horrible cartoon drawing. But so it takes place in Holly, New York, which basically celebrates the holidays pretty much three quarters of the year. She works at the Bookworm Inn, which is the setting of a fictional film called Holiday by the Lake. And she loves working at the Bookworm Inn and because she also has a free library in the Bookworm Inn. And so she has plans. Like she's going to graduate from high school. She wants to go to her choice university, and she is earning her money. She's earning her coins during the holidays, and she wants full-time hours. So she goes to her boss and asks for full-time hours, and she finds out that those hours have already been earmarked by the innkeeper's nephew, Teddy. So when they meet, of course, and there is a little bit of a rivalry in there, and this is their story told in Lila's point of view, in which they switch phones and they find out that they have more in common than they had expected. So it's a sweet romance. And it's a little bit of a self-discovery for Lila as well. And that is it.
I cannot help but draw a lot of comparisons between you and Lila. I feel like she's a blogger. She's a book lover, a reader. She loves the holidays. She plans to go into the medical field, but then later thinks, maybe I want to be a writer. Yeah. Like, how much did you feel like you were just writing your younger self into this?
Oh my gosh. I think that in all my books, I put myself into it. I mean, some aspect of it. What was interesting is that, I really did want to kind of show this kind of change in trajectory from like what she thinks she's supposed to do to what she thinks she wants to do. And so I really want, that is definitely something that is real. But it just took me, you know, 40 years to be able to switch over to the other side. And the idea of that you can always change your mind is something that I wanted to kind of put in there, because it was something, and still, it's still something I tell myself now, you know, that mm-hmm. if just because I'm in something doesn't mean I am stuck there, that yeah. I can find a way, I can make the move to start going another direction. So that is definitely something that, you know, that is definitely a message I tell myself, and it's definitely in the book.
Yeah. No, I agree. And I mean, I related a lot to Lila, just not only because of course she is a book lover and yeah. she loves the holidays and things that I just connect with. But she's this type A character, you know, she's yeah. organized, she's a planner, she's driven. And I know like a lot of the things that she finds herself learning over the course of the story, just like you're talking about, this idea that you can change paths. It's okay, like to maybe doubt things and explore beyond like the plan from time to time. Those were things that I really had to kind of figure out for myself too.
Yeah. I mean, it is a hard lesson to learn. You know, because we always feel so obligated. And you know, I really also learned that during the querying process, you know, yeah. because I was so intent, because I did want to write young adult. And obviously I wrote a young adult novel. And to be able to kind of even change that way, you know, and say, okay, let me try my hand at writing something else, because I was so sad by then, you know, query three. And I was like, oh my gosh, maybe I just don't belong in this business. Right. Mm-hmm. And I kind of switched over. It really opened my mind. And even in this author journey, you know, the first three books I wrote were romance, contemporary romance. And I was given the opportunity to write contemporary fiction. And to be able to also pivot that way kind of opened my mind again, you know? And yeah. so it really just continues, like you can change your mind at any time. And there is growth that can be drawn from it. I mean, there's a lot of mistakes too, and a lot of growing pains that could happen from it. But overall though, there is growth.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. No, I love that. And I know there have been times for me when I'm working on a book, a lot of times a book that was under contract, like I've pitched this to my editor, this is what they're yeah. expecting. And you get, you know, 20, 30, 40,000 words into it. Yeah. And you start just thinking like, it's just not working. There's yeah, what's something going about on? It that's not right. And it can be really intimidating to like go to your editor or your agent and say, I think yeah. I'm going to pivot here.
Yeah.
But when the times that I have given myself permission to do it, it's always worked out better than if I had forced myself to stay the course.
Right. I mean, in my fifth book, it's Once Upon a Sunset, and I pitched it as singular point of view. And I got, I think, 30,000 words in, and I just hit a wall. Like, and I was upset because, you know, when you pitch a book, right, they purchase that book, they acquire that book for under that proposal.
Yeah.
And I had to go back and I asked for a second point of view, which changed everything. And I was so glad that my editor said yes. And yeah. then after that happened, like the rest of the words came. And that was and it was the other character's words. So it was such a lesson, and a lesson in communication, obviously. Right. So it's like, it was a good lesson. Like, okay, if I'm feeling this rough about it, I really need to tell somebody.
Yeah.
And not try to push through.
I know. Sometimes I have to remind myself, like, it's a team. There's a yeah. team here. It's, you don't have to do this all on your own.
Right.
I really want to talk about Teddy, who yeah. is our love interest in this book. He is so great. Yeah. He's one of those characters that you kind of, well, both the reader and Lila, we get this initial impression of him, but then it feels like every scene he is in, we are learning more and more about him. And he just becomes, you know, more and more compelling and more and more interesting as we discover him. So for Teddy, and really for Lila both, I guess, do you start out the story feeling like you have a really clear idea of who your characters are, or how much do you discover as you're writing?
So I am actually a quick first drafter. Initially, I guess in the prep, I do my initial character sketches and I think I know them. And this happens every time. And I think I know who they are. And then I do the first draft and it's a very thin draft. If I'm always like at least 20K less than what the word count is supposed to be. And it's really in that second, in that first round revisions, or some people call it the second draft, mm-hmm. is when I figure out who they are, because I have to finish the book in order to really get their full arc. And in order for me to get, and after I get that full arc, then I realize who they are in the beginning, mm-hmm. I guess, if that makes sense.
No, it does. It actually sounds really similar to my process.
Is that how you do it too? Mm-hmm. It's very panic inducing when I get to the end. For example, I just turned in the book November 15, and I turned in the book at 85K, which was my contract length, but the first draft was 53,000. It's always panic inducing. And then my critique partners will say, you know, you've done this before, right? Like, you always do this. So the holiday switch ended up at, I think, 60,000 words, but I finished it at like 35K. And they always say, just wait until the first round, Tiff. Just
you know, you're going to expand. There's more to add.
There's more to add. It's in that first round revisions that I actually get to know who they are. And then that second round revisions where I put them together, I guess, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Like, so they're actually talking to one another, because sometimes my characters will speak and the other one doesn't answer that other character. They're still thinking about, you know, they're not completing the scene. It's sort of like the scene is happening, but they're not really interacting with one another. It's like toddlers. But it's in that second round where one character will say something and the other one will answer, you know?
Right.
And the dialogue really begins.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean. I know for me, it's not until usually the second draft, sometimes even the third draft, where I start to really hear their voices really clearly.
Yeah.
And then it's like, well, now I have to go back and rewrite all of the dialogues, yes. because they just sound wrong all of a sudden.
I know. I just finished up a short story and that's going into an anthology, and I am doing the first round revisions, and I'm like, wow, the names have changed. I mean, the entire thing has changed because I had switched names like three times from the beginning of the short story to the end. So like, I really don't know them, you know? Mm-hmm. So now I'm doing all those, you know, the nitty gritty changes of who they are and in general, like what kind of a person they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then of course, at some point this starts to develop into a beautiful romance and love story, which is just what I live for as a reader. And I think it's fun. This book, just in general, you're playing with a lot of tropes, mm-hmm. as like the actual book itself incorporates various tropes, but we also have this book blogger who has a blog dedicated to romantic tropes.
Yes.
So there's like this really fun, almost like tongue in cheekness about it, which I really enjoyed. One trope that I love is the like super type A character, like super organized, maybe a little controlling at times. And the love interest is more type B, a free thinker, kind of goes with the flow. And we've got that in this book. So fun.
Thank you.
When you're writing the romance between these just like very different characters, what are some things that you are thinking about when it comes to trying to, you know, balance like the sparks and the romance, but also have that ongoing tension between them?
Yeah. You know, it's really figuring out what makes them tick and seeing where that attracts the way they attract one another in that way, or the way they repel one another, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, for the same reasons that Teddy is so annoyed with Lila with the way she does things are the same things that he admires about Lila, because she gets stuff done, you know? And Teddy, even though he's type B, he's really type A in his own work.
Yeah, right? I would agree to that. He's a hardworking guy.
Yeah.
And does it in a different way.
Right. And in his own passions, he is so focused. So she sees that in him. And she even says, I think once, like, where is this guy when he's at the inn? So the same thing but it's for a completely different reason. She's also wondering, well, if he's like this at the gym, why can't he be like this at the inn? So it's the same reason that she likes him. She also gets so irritated by him.
Yeah.
You know, so I loved playing with this rivals to romance trope in this book, because I love reading enemies to lovers books, but it's very hard to write actually, because you have to toe the line of somebody that is different enough that there's conflict, but they're not a jerk, or they don't do enough jerky things that the reader says, why would you want to be with that person?
Yeah.
You know, like that, you know, the core values have to be the same, have to be good. And so it was nice for me to be able to explore this here in The Holiday Switch, because everything, you know, the entire setting was lighthearted. So I couldn't go too far into the negative. So it was a nice practice for me. In general, I'm usually more of like the second chance romance or the friends to lovers kind of writer, because I love, I already love it when a person has a relationship with that love interest, you know?
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of enemies to lovers. Yeah. I have one contemporary romance that I wrote called Instant Karma, and it is also an enemies to lovers. And you are right. It is a much more difficult trope to pull off than I think I had realized or given credit for, because you are trying to, like you say, like, you don't want anyone to be a jerk. Yeah. Like, there has to be reasons for them to fall in love. And I felt like one of my biggest challenges was maintaining the enemies portion for as long as I could. Because as you immediately want to start building in this, you know, these sparks, you want to start, you know, having this draw between them. But if you get into that too quickly, well, now you've lost your tension.
Right.
And it was so hard for me to find ways to keep them apart for long enough that it felt like it had a good arc there.
Yeah. So I just listened to The Stand-In by Lily Chu. And she does this kind of enemies to lovers. And the grovel in the end, do you know what I mean? Not the grovel, but the part in the end where you're building the relationship, it has to be in good proportion to the amount of time, exactly what you're saying, because you want them to have that tension, but then you have to give enough time also for them to build this believable happily ever after.
You know, it can't be hate. Whoa, all of a sudden we're swooning.
Yeah. I mean, it is hard.
Yeah. I absolutely loved that. We get little glimpses at Lila's blog, and you know, you give us little reviews of the books that she's reading, and she always does these like pros and cons for each book. And at one point she comes out as like not liking the enemies to lovers trope. And I was like, you are in an enemies to lovers trope. Exactly. I thought that was so hysterical.
It's Lila just, you know, she expresses herself in her blog. And then, you know, it's sort of like a self-discovery at the same time. I remember using my blog as a form of, it's like a diary, you know, especially back in 2001, 2002, there was this blogging platform called Zanga, and it wasn't really public. You had like little communities that your blog was public to, right? Mm-hmm. And so you'd have like, you know, 12, I had like 12 or 15 bloggers in my little community. So it ended up being that it was a diary, but like 12 other people were reading it, you know, and that was like before WordPress and before Blogspot. So I felt like that's what, you know, Lila had really treated her blog as a diary because no one knew that it was her. So she had this freedom to kind of work through her issues. So there are some similarities with the blog with her real life. You know, she was processing these books. And I do believe that whenever I read a book, it's like reading your horoscope sometimes. You know, you get what you want to see from it. So I can read a book, you know, two different times in my life, and I will get a totally different message depending on what I really want to hear or what I'm looking for in my life.
Yeah.
I'm that way with Little Women, you know, it's depending on where I am in my life, I draw from another woman, you know, from another woman in the book. So, yeah.
Yeah. No, that's interesting to think about. There are books that I feel like they change based on your own experiences or where you're coming from at that point in time. I want to talk about the movie.
I love this movie. Oh my gosh. So Holiday by the Lake is the fictional movie that was filmed at the Bookworm Inn in Holly, New York. And Holiday by the Lake is the draw. So you have these super fans that come from all over the country that want to come to the inn where the film was shot so that they can pick up souvenirs and they can take pictures with the town and with all of the, like, the memorabilia from the movie. And the where I got that idea was, you know, we're an RV family. That's how we take our vacations. And we went to the site of the Christmas Story.
Oh, fun.
And the house is there, you know, with the leg lamp right there on the window. Right. Huh. And how people come from everywhere, right, to come to this house. And then across the street from the house is like a little gift shop, you know. So that's where kind of it spurned from that. And in the Holiday Switch, the Bookworm Inn was like the hot spot. It was like the Mecca. Everybody came to the Bookworm Inn to sit on the canoe, sit in a canoe and take a picture with the canoe.
Kiss on the dock.
And kiss on the dock. You know, all these things. And I'm kind of a fangirl, so I would totally do it. Like, I have yet to go to Forks, right? But I really want to go to Forks.
That's right around the corner for me.
If I ever go, I'm gonna call you and be like, I'm in Forks. But I really want to go to Forks. I really want to go where Dawson's Creek was shot. You know, I think that's Wilmington. And, you know, I just want to be able to go to those places and kind of bask in the character, you know, in the setting and in the characters.
Yeah, we have talked for a long time about doing a family trip out to Martha's Vineyard and seeing all the Jaws locations. Jaws is my husband's favorite movie, and it's now become one of my daughter's favorite movies.
That is so funny. Someday. Oh my gosh, get in the water.
I know, I would not. I don't think I could. So the details about this movie are kind of sprinkled throughout the story. And I am really curious, like, do you have a complete story in mind for what happened? Or was it just like, you know, throwing in details on a need to know basis?
No, I have a complete story in my mind. You know, writers are funny, right? I mean, I think a lot of the time I was just thinking about this great second chance romance and set in this inn. I mean, it was one of the most fun things about this book. You know, I always say like three things came to mind. You know, first it was the setting. So everything about the setting in this book came to me first, and that included the movie. And it also, you know, and then the characters and then her blog. So I also had fun like thinking up all of these books that she's reviewing. Mm-hmm. So
that was another one. Another, like, all these little stories within a story. I was like, these could all be real books. I love the paranormal one.
It's like, is the angel actually the devil? I mean, it was so much fun. But you know, this is really I really threw this. I wrote this in 2020. I wrote this and my the first book in my romance series set in the Outer Banks, and really they're both escapist books. Mm-hmm. So these books were due around the same time. And I just threw myself into these settings and really enjoyed myself.
Yeah. Well, I think it's what a lot of readers are going to be craving this holiday season. I know I'm usually very strict, like no Hallmark movies until after Thanksgiving. And I was like, screw that this year. I am in.
Yeah. What's so funny is that we have a pretty strict rule too. No, decorations until after Thanksgiving. And here's my 11-year-old daughter. She convinced her dad to bring up all the ornaments from downstairs and all the trees. And she put up two trees by herself yesterday. Oh, she's like, Mom, she's not even waiting. She's like, I'm going to put these trees up whether or not you guys are ready. And the thing is that, like, you know, I was really strict with my first two in general, right? Because I was brand new mom, but now with my fourth, I'm like, whatever, just whatever makes you happy, sweetheart.
Yeah. Well, if she's showing that sort of gumption to do it herself,
yeah, like, I'm like, yes, go put on those lights.
Yeah, that's right. All right, I've got one more tiny craft detail, which might seem like a silly thing, but I'm truly curious because all of the people in this town speak in these just ridiculous holiday puns all the time. And it's so cute. Like, I wish I would have written more of them down, but one that stood out to me was like, holy night, instead of like, holy crap. Do you have like a list of these?
Yes.
You do. Oh, I'm so happy to hear you say that.
I did. I sat down and I just listed as many as I could, really, really silly ones. And I purposely sprinkled them like evenly throughout the book so that it wouldn't be like all the way in the beginning, you know, really just even them out. And I really used Holy Night for Teddy because it had to be silly enough, but not over the top because he's just kind of warming up. Yeah. And so for him to say Holy Night is just Teddy, you know, falling into the spirit of Holly, New York. So
I love it. Now, again, I wish it, you know what? I might have you email me that list because I would like to start using holiday puns this time of year.
So funny. And, you know, we're not like, we curse in our home, but at times we get really, we like puns in our house, you know? So, to just kind of play around with it was really fun. I feel like I just threw everything at this book.
Yeah. No, it is one of those books that you, as a reader, I could tell that you were having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
It really comes out. Before we move on to our bonus round, I do want listeners to be aware that you also are the host of a podcast. Would you like to tell listeners a little bit about your Stories to Love podcast?
Yeah, I started the Stories to Love podcast in 2020 because I was looking for inspiration. And what I was doing is contacting fellow creatives to chat with them about what makes them go. And to kind of talk about their books and fangirl over their books and fangirl over their work, but also talk about the things that inspire them and what they do to get them to go every day. Because at that time, you know, as with everybody with the pandemic, I was starting to kind of slow and I was missing all of my friends because, you know, book tours were canceled and all of this and that. Mm-hmm. So it was really just a way for me to speak to people. It was, you know, and it, I got some great reception from it and we're starting our season, in the middle of second season in the next week or so. And I'm very excited because I have a pretty good lineup of folks, that I asked to speak on the podcast and guests on the podcast. So yeah, it's just been, it's been a pleasure. It's really more for me and I hope that other folks, will find value in it too.
Yeah, no, I'm really similar. I started this podcast, you know, as a COVID project.
Yeah.
Largely yeah. because the world shut down and yeah. suddenly there were no book festivals and no book tours and conferences. And I was just like, but when am I going to see my friends?
Yes. Yes. And those opportunities to speak to them about, you know, I like to come up to authors and say, I really love your work, you know, this, and it's nice actually with the podcast because, you know, folks don't have to get dressed, right? They can yeah. just come on in their pajamas.
Super laid back.
Yeah. And then I have their book and I can point out a page in their book, you know, and a line in their book and really tell them the thing that really moved me. So it's been great.
Yeah. That's awesome. I hope listeners will go and check it out.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Okay. You ready for our bonus round?
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Hot cocoa or apple cider?
Hot cocoa.
Jingle bells or jingle bell rock?
Jingle bells.
What is your favorite holiday treat?
Oh, cinnamon rolls. Oh my gosh. Oh, that's so I make the Pioneer Woman cinnamon rolls, which makes like 8 pans. I'm not even joking. It makes that many. And I only really make it twice a year, Thanksgiving and Christmas. So
back to back.
Yes. We eat a lot of cinnamon rolls in this house during that time.
Oh, that sounds incredible. Hallmark holiday movies or Netflix holiday movies?
Netflix. Netflix. Yeah.
What is your favorite holiday tradition other than cinnamon rolls?
So we do pajamas. We do pajamas on Christmas Eve and we do Christmas presents the next day. So that is our favorite. So we get to open presents also, you know, on Christmas Eve because the kids cannot wait. And we have this thing called Noche Buena, which is when, you know, I make a meal late Christmas Eve and we have, you know, some kind of soup or some kind of arroscaldo or some other Filipino dish to kind of, you know, kind of ease our bellies right before we go to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That sounds delightful. I want to come to your house for Christmas.
Yes, come on. I have 4 kids. Like if you added more, it would be totally like, I wouldn't even notice.
No, my kids are 7. Your kids could watch my kids. And
yes.
Everybody wins.
Everybody's happy. Seriously. They watch each other. It's really great.
How do you fill the creative well?
I would have to say that I go outside. That's been, you know, it changes every season, but this fall, what has really saved me is leaving my house and getting some vitamin D. I realized though, after seeing my doctor like 2 months ago, that I was totally vitamin D deficient. Like,
oh, no.
So not only am I taking like a vitamin D pill, but like it is a focus for me to go outside and wouldn't you know? It actually makes me feel better. I'm a little bit more energetic getting some sun in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What is your favorite thing about being a writer?
Oh my gosh. That is so hard. I would have to say 2 things because I can't choose one. One is connecting with readers. I think it's so amazing. Readers are fantastic and they're so generous with their time. And then for me, like meeting other authors, many of whom like I looked up to you, Marissa. So it's like just being able to meet authors and really just, you know, be around them and kind of soak them up. So I think that's really special.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
What book makes you happy?
Oh my gosh. What?
That's the last heavy hitter.
Oh my God. I would have to say just because I am in a Little Women kick and I was just contracted for a Little Women book. A Little Women has to be it because it is my go-to every year. I go to a Little Women as a, I watch all the movies that are available and I also read it at least once a year. So.
Well, that is a perfect segue into my next question. What are you working on next?
Yes. Okay. So I have 2 books coming out next year. I have two romances, one in April and one in the fall. And I just turned in that fall book. But I am, my current work in progress is my 2023 novel. And I just got to make the announcement today. And it's called Just One Wish. And it is a contemporary fiction. And it is Little Women from Marmee's point of view.
Oh.
And her one singular wish.
Oh, how interesting.
So, yeah. Yeah. So, I'd mentioned that, like, when you read a book over and over, you kind of relate to a different character. And I'm in this stage where I once thought I was Amy. I once thought I was Beth. I once thought I was Meg. And I once thought I was Joe. And it's a different phase now where mm-hmm. I'm definitely saying to myself that I am more Marmee in terms of age, right? Age mm-hmm. and thought process and all of that. So this book really explores that.
I love
modern
that.
Modern Marmee. Yeah.
Lastly, where can people find you?
I am best on Instagram. So Tiff Marcello is my Instagram, but the whole jumping off of socials and of everything and newsletter is my website and it's tiffmarcello.com.
Awesome. Tiff, thank you so much for joining me today.
Yay. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Readers, definitely check out The Holiday Switch. It is available now. Of course, we encourage you to support your local indie bookstore if you can. If you don't have a local indie, you can check out our affiliate store at bookshop.org/shop/Marissa Meyer. Next week, I will be talking to the writing duo, Amanda Foody and Christine Lynn Herman, for their new fantasy, All of Us Villains. If you're enjoying these conversations, please subscribe and follow us on Instagram at Marissa Meyer Author and at Happy Writer Podcast. Until next time, stay healthy, stay cozy, and whatever life throws at you today, I do hope that now you're feeling a little bit happier.